whenever there's an opportunity to share something, it's I always try to share it out of where I am and what's happening, and things that God's been saying to me. And recently I've read this book, and a lot of what I say really will it's either be things that I've read or things that these what I read prompted in me. And it's simply called All In. All In. You're one decision away from a totally different life. Do you believe that? It's true. All of us tonight are just one decision away from having a totally different life. A God-sized life. And it all comes from being all in and all out for Him. Scripture I want to point us to as a foundation for this is Matthew 22. And beginning at verse 34. The greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had just silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hang on these two commands." Lord, help us to know what this command actually means for us and how, Lord, we can respond to it by loving you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and be empowered to love our neighbor as a result, as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Actually, we could end there, to be honest. Because that's what it's all about, really. It's about the measure of our love for God is the measure of our life and what our life will achieve. Amen? This isn't how much work we do. It's how much we love. And from that flows the fruit of our life. First and greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the most powerful thing we can do with our lives. The whole of yourself, heart, soul, mind, focused on God and His purposes. It's missionary week, isn't it? And this is mission, heart of mission, really. And we can all be part of it. The greatest that God has for you and through you flows out of His greatest commandment. Keep it faithfully and watch Him do far more than you could imagine or even ask. It's not a secret to have an impactful life, a powerful life. There's no secret to it, you know. You don't have to go to school or to college. You have to know your God and love Him. God wants you all in and all out for Him. We often say we want to make fully committed followers of Jesus. What does it mean to be fully committed, to be all in? What's it look like from God's perspective? How can we be all in? And what will such a life achieve? One man who's captivated by this thought, this challenge, was a guy called D.L. Moody. Who has not heard of D.L. Moody? Okay. D.L. Moody, have you heard of Billy Graham? Yep. Well, D.L. Moody was the Billy Graham of his time in the late 19th century. 1870, that's right, 19th century. He was an evangelist, and he was doing okay. But then one day he came over to an island from the U.S. and heard a guy, very close to your name actually, And this guy's name was Henry Varley, not Varney. And who uttered these words: "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a woman," my interpretation, "fully consecrated to him." The world has yet to see it. And D.L. Moody said, "I want to be that man." And he gave his life to be fully consecrated. And the result was world impacting. Thousands, if not millions of people's lives were touched through his time, through his life in ministry. And the potential is still there for you and me. You don't have to be a fully fledged evangelist to have a massive impact in the world around us. You don't have to have the gifts of D.L. Moody, but you do need the heart of D.L. Moody. And you can have that because it's all connected to the one who you love anyway. A heart for God and a heart for your neighbor. So tonight's message is have a heart. You can have that heart. It comes from loving him. So what does it mean to be all in? It means making an advanced decision not to return to mediocre, safe Christian living. Who of us here has been guilty of this? My hand's up first. Too often, we've settled for mediocre, safe. That word safe is our enemy, you know. Safe Christian living. That's why I was so glad you girls went out and did what you did. You didn't play safe. It was really funny, you know. I got this bus, and these two women with buckets and brooms and great big bin bags full of balloons coming on the bus, going to stand for Jesus in the public square. All out for the all in all. The world needs more Moodies. The world's crying out for people who are wholly given to God. We've sung it, haven't we? This morning and tonight, being all out for him, wanting to give our lives for his glory, ask him to burn a fire in us for the sake of the world. You are just as important as Billy Graham, D.L. Moody in God's eyes with regard to the world that you touch around you. You're the person that God wants to use. You're the Billy Graham. You're the D.L. Moody to those around you. And you simply have to have a heart. A heart for God. A heart for those around you. Don't wait till you go to heaven. Just waiting, hanging around, waiting for heaven to come to you or for you to go to heaven. That's not God's desire for you. That's not God's design for you. The reason you are saved is that you can get on board with God. Get onto his purposes. Give yourself to his heart and his passion, that they may become yours. It's far better to live an exciting, dynamic, dangerous life with God. That's where it's really lived. The Christian life is lived on the edge with God. That's where really we experience God. When you're going through a hard time, like Andy was, that's when God comes through. And he hangs on to God, his faith in God, and his love for God, and his desire to witness for God. Faith becomes revealed and alive and makes a difference to those around us. And we don't have to work for him. We just have to love him enough to own his heart so we could love others. So we can not just wait to go to heaven ourselves, but as often has been said, that we take as many people with us as we can. That's what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Taking people to heaven with you. Giving people a chance of being right with God. Giving people the hope and the certainty of an eternal life. You love that. You own that. Now let your neighbor have it as well. Love them enough. Let them know there's a heaven waiting and there's a hell to avoid. God wants you all in and all out for him. You know, the early missionaries, and that's why it's great that this is a mission week, their heart was very clear, very evident, and they were all in kind of people. You know, the early missionaries, when they went to places like Africa, they had one-way tickets. And I'm told very often they had all their belongings, as little as they were, including their coffin. They took their coffin with them because they didn't expect to return. Many of them would face disease or headhunters or whatever. And the coffins were very useful, actually, for carrying all their stuff as they went. Can you imagine the impact of our lives where there was no turning back? We were all out for God. I've been challenged again, even this morning, I think we were singing, and I thought, if I was really, totally all out for God, I would never be embarrassed to talk about Jesus in a public square or a school gate or wherever. Never. The best thing I could do for people. And if we are embarrassed about the name of Jesus, check your love out. Check your heart. I'm not saying you have to go out and Bible punch and be an open-air preacher, but not to be ashamed of the gospel or the Christ of the gospel. We need to be people who are willing to take ground and face difficulties with our eyes not on the difficulties but on the God beyond them. Not on the size of the opposition but the size of our God. And there's a story in this book of an account from the American Civil War and how one man facing almost impossible opposition stood his ground. His name was Joshua Chamberlain. He himself was a student of theology and a professor of rhetoric, but volunteered as a soldier. And on July the 2nd, 1863, this is the story, Chamberlain and his 300 soldier regiment were all stood between the Confederates and certain defeat at the Battle in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. At 2:30 p.m., the 15th and the 47th Alabama Infantry Regiments of the Confederate Army charged, but Chamberlain and his men held their ground. Then followed the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th charge. By the last charge, only 80 Blues, that's Union soldiers, were standing. Chamberlain himself was knocked down to the ground by a bullet hitting his belt buckle. But the 34-year-old school teacher, that's what he was really, got up and said that this was his date with destiny. He got up and faced the enemy. When Sergeant Hosey informed Chamberlain that no reinforcements were coming and his men were down to one round of ammunition per soldier, Chamberlain knew he needed to act decisively. Their lookout, a young boy, perched high in a tree on Little Round Top, which is the name of a hill, informed Colonel Chamberlain that the Confederates were forming rank. The rational thing to do at this point, with no ammunition and no reinforcements, would have been to surrender. But Chamberlain wasn't wired that way. He made a defining decision that turned the tide of the war and single-handedly saved the Union in full view of the enemy. Chamberlain climbed onto the barricade of stones and gave a command. He pointed his sword and yelled, "Charge!" Can you imagine? 80 poorly armed soldiers against what I'm told was about 4,000 Confederates. What he did took the Confederates by surprise, and we're told that he formed a kind of an arch that surrounded them with the 80 men, and it resulted in him taking captive 4,000 Confederate soldiers. Can you imagine? We need that kind of courage, that kind of boldness when we face opposition. You know, and the opposition we face often is our own resistance to follow through, to break new ground, to get over the hill, whatever that hill may be in your life. With God ahead of us, we can say charge and overcome the enemy. The enemy within and the enemy without. I'm way out of my notes. I don't know where I am in my notes at the moment. But you get the message. Being all in for God, the one who is the all in all, the one who gave everything, the one, despite all the opposition, said, "Charge." He went to the cross, the hill. He knew the victory that lay ahead of that charge. He gave it all. He was all in from the word go. And he saved us so that we could be all in for him. The gospel isn't that Christ saved us so he could serve us for the rest of our lives, but that we would serve him and his purposes. I was reading a scripture that came alive fresh in a different way for me about this. And Ephesians 3:19 says that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That we may be filled up, not with our fullness, filling ourselves, but his fullness, the fullness of his purposes, so that we may be all in, the all in all. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. We're not speaking of the impossible here. We're speaking of the possible, that is that which can be realized in each of our lives, Lord. In different ways, expressed in different ways, depending on our experience and our circumstances, Father, and our age, all kinds of things. But all you're looking for, Lord, is our hearts after yours. So help us, Lord, to know what it means to love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength, with all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.